The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Hope you're all doing well on this overcast Tuesday afternoon. Not too bad outside today, but man, it has been busy here at the office trying to get ready for football season with college and high school and getting ready for my Auburn University graduation this weekend. Just so much going on around the office, around life for me right now. So I have been running around like crazy today and will continue to do so after the show all week long and just over the next few weeks, getting ready for everything. Just a lot going on. It's a busy time of the year. I'm sure all of you can relate to that with it now being August. We have school right around the corner and just so much coming up on the horizon, but very happy to be here, very blessed to be here, and excited to be with you for the next 2 hours here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Hour number one officially underway here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Phone lines are open today. Let me hear from you. I'd love to hear what you have to say about anything going on in the sports world. Give me a call and be on the line. 334-321-1390. That's the number to put you through to me. Call in. We can talk about anything you want to talk about in the sports world. Call in, be on the line. 334-321-1390. In hour number two, we're going to talk to Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. We had him hold off coming on to the show yesterday, and we're going to talk to him today because we had Christian Clemente coming in the house yesterday. So Jacob Hillman was very nice and was able to go today instead of yesterday. So we're going to talk to Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network this afternoon in hour number two at 3:30. Talk to him about everything going on in Auburn athletics. But here in hour number one, it's going to be a lot of Auburn basketball talk. We've got so much to go over related to Auburn basketball. But first, we are 32 days away from Auburn football kicking off the season. That's right, folks, 32 days from September 3rd. Doesn't it feel like yesterday we were talking about the 50-day mark, and just a couple of days before that we were talking about the 75-day mark, and just a couple of days before that we were talking about the 100 days until college football? Well, folks, it's right here. We're a month away. I mean, we are. We are just about a month away from college football kicking off for Auburn, even closer than that for some of these other schools. So, again, we're in August. We will be watching college football this month, sitting on the couch, sitting in the recliner, watching college football this month. It's here. I mean, we are right here at it and super, super excited. But you know what else gets me excited? It's when it's August 2nd and I can turn on the TV or pull up on my computer and I can watch Auburn basketball play in the month of August. That's what happened today. I think they just wrapped up as Auburn basketball took their trip to Israel, and they are taking on a couple of the Israeli national teams. Today they played the Israel under 20 team, which is obviously players who are playing for the Israel national team that are under the age of 20. Auburn took on that team today. They dominated. They won the basketball game. We're going to talk about all of that, what I saw, what you saw, and what, you know, what we expected coming into a game like this, what we learned from a game like this, and what we are going to learn over their next few games. Auburn has a couple of more games coming up against the Israel national team at the different levels. Obviously, you know, there's different levels of these national teams, different age groups and different experience groups, things like that. But Auburn played their first one today. They have a couple of more while they are over in Israel. So we are going to talk about that. We're going to talk about why it's important that they're playing these games, all of that good stuff. We're going to talk about that here in this first hour. But before we do that, yesterday afternoon, Auburn basketball picked up a huge commitment from a four-star point guard, Aiden Holloway. He is the first one on this 2023 recruiting class. He picked Auburn over Tennessee and Memphis and a couple of other schools. Auburn picks up Aiden Holloway, the four-star point guard out of North Carolina. He picked the Tigers again over Tennessee and over Memphis. There was a couple of other schools, but those are the big, big names that he picked Auburn over. People were expecting him to pick Auburn. That was the, you know, there were crystal balls for him, and that was what people were predicting, but overall, he did, and he ultimately did pick Auburn yesterday evening. The point guard, Aiden Holloway, is a four-star guard. He stands at 6 foot tall and weighs 155 pounds. You watch some of the film on this kid. He can shoot. He can make plays. He can finish at the rim, and he really reminds me of a Sharif Cooper-type player. He reminds me of a guy like Sharif Cooper, but can maybe even shoot a little bit better than Sharif Cooper could. This kid has all the potential in the world to be a five-star point guard when he shows up on campus for Auburn in next year. Right now he's a four-star, but again, I think he could become a five-star by the time it is all said and done. You watch his shooting stroke. It's pure. It's quick. And he can make space for himself. He doesn't have to have a wide-open shot to take the three ball. But then at the same time, he can put the ball on the floor and he can finish at the rim or also dump it off to a big man. He's the perfect point guard. He's the perfect Bruce Pearl-type point guard. Right, we think about the point guards that have played for Bruce Pearl in the past that have been successful, and even the ones that are still playing for Bruce Pearl right now. You have Jared Harper. He was short, he could shoot, and he could finish at the rim. You had Sharif Cooper. He was short, he could shoot, and he could finish at the rim. You have Wendell Green, KD Johnson, and Zeb Jasper right now on the team. They're shorter, they can shoot at times, and they can finish at the rim at times. Now, we know that those three guys have to step up and be better, and don't worry, we're going to talk about that later on in the show today here in the first hour. But you look at the point guards that Bruce Pearl has gone after during his time at Auburn and even his times at other places. These are the types of guards that Bruce Pearl likes to use. They run his system perfectly, and he knows what it takes to win in his style of offense. And even his style of defense at times. Because these types of guards, including Aiden Holloway, who committed to Auburn yesterday, they play solid defense. They're not going to be the best defensive player you've ever seen. They're a short point guard. They're not supposed to play the best defense that you've ever seen. But what they are supposed to do is be able to pick at the ball and force turnovers against other point guards. Pickpocket. And then, once you get that turnover, the point guard, in these styles specifically, you're supposed to outlet the ball or bring the ball up the floor in transition and get it to the guy running with you down the lane. Pass it off or finish at the rim. But this type of point guard has to be able to do both. You have to be able to finish at the rim, and you have to be able to dish it off and give it to your guy who's running behind you. Because then you're a double threat. And if you have a two-on-one, you can't be beat. If you're a threat to finish at the rim or you're a threat to dish it off and give it to your guy running the floor, a two-on-one, you're going to score every time. And so on the defensive end, these types of point guards have to be able to force the turnovers and then get out in transition and make the right play. That is what Aiden Holloway will do for Auburn. That's what Jared Harper did. That's what Sharif Cooper did. That's what at times we've seen Wendell Green, KD Johnson, and Zeb Jasper do. And I think they will be better this year at doing that. That is what Aiden Holloway will bring Auburn. He commits to the Tigers. He's a four-star point guard and has all the potential in the world. Again, I think he can be a five-star by the time he gets here. You look at just the victories that Bruce Pearl has had on the recruiting trail. It's impressive what Bruce Pearl has done with Auburn, and it definitely helps that players like Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler have come to Auburn. They've trusted Bruce Pearl, they've trusted this university, and they've trusted this coaching staff, and they have entrusted them with their future, and it's worked out. Right? You look at a guy like Isaac Okoro, JT Thor, right? You look at those types of players who are in the league right now, Ichuma Okeke. Those guys came to Auburn. They could have gone anywhere in the country. And they came to Auburn. They came to Bruce Pearl. They bought into what he was selling. And he delivered. Now, a championship hasn't been delivered yet on the national stage. We've seen SEC championships. But a national championship has not been delivered yet. And that's coming. I think it will come. But one thing, and there's a lot of things, really, that Bruce Pearl can offer and promise to recruits right now. You come to Auburn, you're going to get better as a basketball player. You come to Auburn, we're going to compete for SEC championships. You come to Auburn, we're going to do everything we can to get you to the pros. And so far, so good. So that's why Bruce Pearl has begun and continued to win over recruits. He's gotten Auburn to be a national recruiting breeding ground, if you will. Auburn is in the door for every big-time national basketball player at the high school level. And Auburn's also in the door for every big-time transfer portal player as well. Look at the roster. There's transfer portal guys all over it. And Auburn has become a destination place for big-time basketball players coming out of high school or coming through the transfer portal. And Auburn is not only landing these players, but they're making them better while they're here. They make them better defensively. They make them better mentally. They make them better physically. I don't want to go as far as to say they make them better offensively, because if you've listened to my show, you understand my thought process on Bruce Pearl's offense and where it kind of lacks and where it kind of hurts some players. I'll be honest. Jabari Smith and Auburn's offense last year did not benefit to his full potential. He didn't. He could have gone to other schools and gotten a lot more shots and had a lot more points and had a lot more highlights. But you look at Jabari Smith's game overall, he got a lot better. And he's going to benefit in the NBA because of it. But Auburn and Bruce Pearl's basketball program right now, it's not an offensive juggernaut. You've seen the three-point barrage at times, and you've seen the fast-paced, up-tempo transition offense, right? Sure, that part's fantastic. And when it works, it is a juggernaut. But that doesn't always work. Bruce Pearl doesn't just draw up the best plays we've ever seen and just a guru with the whiteboard. Let's just be honest. X's and O's, that's not Bruce Pearl's game. He's good at it, but he's not great. Where Bruce Pearl is great is defense, heart, effort. Now, out-of-bounds plays, that's different. Out-of-bounds plays, he's the best there is. But just offensively, we're speaking offensively in the half-court offense. X's and O's, it's not him. But he has his guys play extreme defense. He has his guys play with a lot of heart, and they play together. And that's what we've seen over the years from Auburn basketball. And so when you talk about a point guard like Aiden Holloway, who committed to Auburn yesterday over Tennessee as a four-star point guard, he will fit right in with Bruce Pearl's style of offense. Bring the ball up the floor, run a quote-unquote play, and then make a play as a point guard, whether it's shooting the basketball, dribbling and putting the ball on the floor and getting to the rack and finishing strong through contact as a short guard, or putting the ball on the floor, getting into contact, and then either dumping it off to a big man for a layup or a dunk, or the wraparound kickout for a three in the corner. Or maybe even that guy in the corner catches it, makes the extra pass to the wing, and there's an open three. Basketball is a simple game, folks. The more you move the basketball, the more the defense moves. And the more that the defense moves, the more holes that are created. And when holes are created, that's called a scoring opportunity. That's basketball, folks. On the offensive side, all you got to do is move the ball. If you move the ball, the defense will move. And when the defense moves, that's when holes are created. That's when miscommunications happen. And that's when good offensive players and good offensive teams take advantage of it. That is what Auburn needs to try and do. But that's why Bruce Pearl goes after these players like Aiden Holloway. And in the past, he went after players like Jared Harper and Sharif Cooper. Because they do make Auburn basketball better, and they make Auburn's offense better. That's why we had such high expectations last year for Wendell Green, KD Johnson, and Zeb Jasper. Because he didn't have one point guard, he had three. He had three point guards that fit his narrative. Now, we all had our gripes and our opinions about these point guards. And we had some things that we'd want to change about how they played last year. But there's also a lot of good things that they did. But a guy like Aiden Holloway, he's going to fit right in. And it's exciting that Bruce Pearl was able to land a guy like this who wants to come and play at Auburn, because it is a perfect match. Not only can Auburn benefit from Aiden Holloway, but Aiden Holloway can benefit from Auburn. Now again, height is going to be something that probably holds him back. Look at Jared Harper. The guy is a superstar, but he's never going to play in the NBA because he's short. It's just unfortunate. That's a fact. It's not any hate against him. He's a fantastic player, but his height will hold him back, and it has. Sharif Cooper, we're going to find out. Wendell Green, KD Johnson, Zeb Jasper, we're going to find out. But I think their height will probably hinder them as well. But you take a guy like Aiden Holloway, he can come to Auburn and benefit and be great. Now, at the next level, if he gets there, we'll wait and see what that happens. But Bruce Pearl going out and landing yet again another big-time point guard recruit. He's a 4-star, will probably be a 5-star by the time he gets here. It's another victory for Bruce Pearl, folks. But things have to change. But Aiden Holloway is a perfect fit for this Auburn offense, for Auburn basketball. He's a 4-star point guard in the 2023 class. He's from the state of North Carolina. He is the 30th overall player in the 2023 class. He chooses Auburn over Tennessee, Memphis, and some others. Aiden Holloway, the 4-star point guard, commits to Auburn yesterday afternoon. Again, another victory for Bruce Pearl on the recruiting trail. Hey, we're off and running here in hour number one on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you and what your thoughts are on this Auburn basketball recruit. Auburn basketball in general, we got a lot more to talk about with Auburn basketball as they played over in Israel today. Give me a call, 334-321-1390. Question of the day. It's going to be a good one for you, and I want to hear your opinion. That'll be on the other side of this break when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Question of the day here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Question of the day to you is this. With the upcoming athletic season for Auburn coming up, obviously football here in the fall and then Auburn basketball in the winter / spring. With how last year ended for both football and basketball, very disappointing endings for both squads, here's the question of the day to you. Which program needs a better year this upcoming season? Auburn football or Auburn basketball? And why? 334-321-1390. That's the question of the day to you. Which program needs a better year this upcoming year? Auburn football or Auburn basketball? And why? 334-321-1390. That's the number to put you through to me. Call in, be on the line, answer the question of the day. Which program needs a better season? Auburn football or Auburn basketball? And why? And look, I was thinking about this, and what made me think of it was watching Auburn play in Israel today. And don't worry, in the next segment, we're going to break down the entire game, Auburn basketball, as they destroyed the Israel under-20 team And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about all of that game and stuff like that. But when I was watching it earlier today, I was thinking about just the talent on the team last year and how this year's team may not be as talented as last year's, but I think this team could be better than last year's. And looking at how last year ended in the NCAA tournament in the second round, losing to Miami, we just never saw the changes that needed to be made with Auburn basketball. I talked about it every single day on this show when Noah Gardner was still here, and we talked about Auburn basketball all the time. I held strong, and I said, Auburn can be great, but they have to make the right changes. If they keep playing the way they're playing, they're not going to win. And that's exactly what happened. They spoiled us in the first round, and then they blew it in the second round, right? So a disappointing end to the season for Auburn basketball. Same thing with Auburn football. Great start, had a lot of optimism around the program, a lot of optimism on the season, and then it just went downhill from there. You lose five straight, you go 6-7, and we all know what happened after that. And so coming into this year, 2022/2023, I started thinking, which program needs to have a better year this year? Auburn football or Auburn basketball? And there's a couple of ways to look at this, right? You start looking at football, and I think a lot of you may answer that, and that be your answer is football. We know what's on the line here, no pun intended, of course. We know what's at stake for Auburn football this year. You went 6-7 last year. Your head coach almost gets fired. The fan base turns. Players leave left and right. Somehow you've reeled it back in, and you've managed to keep this ship together with some duct tape right now. And if this year goes poorly, the duct tape's going to break, the boat's going to flood, and everything's going to have to reset. But if you have a good year, then everybody should be fine. But let's look at basketball. Bruce Pearl has been here. He's been here for a minute now at Auburn. He's winning and recruiting. It seems like he's winning everywhere else except on the big stage. Now, of course, we've seen Auburn make a Final Four in 2019, the first time they've ever done that. They hung the banner on Auburn Arena, what is now Neville Arena, and that's a great accomplishment. And that team in 2019 was not supposed to make it that far at all. They caught fire, and they couldn't be stopped. And they should have won in the Final Four. We all know that, right? That team should have won the national championship, but they didn't. If they show up for any of the first 30 minutes of that Final Four game instead of deciding to only play the last 10 minutes, they win that game easily, and they beat Texas Tech on that Monday night in the national championship game by 20 points. I guarantee it. But Auburn made that Final Four. And then after that, we started asking ourselves, well, how long will it be until we get back? And then Bruce Pearl started really recruiting well, started picking up big-time names, big-time players, and the program began to rise on the national stage. And we get to 2021, where you have Jabari Smith, the highest-rated player to ever commit to Auburn. You have more talent on this team than you've ever had before in the history of Auburn basketball. And you become the number one team in the country. You seem like you're unbeatable. You win a record amount of games. And then it just falls apart. And then the problems start to build up. And you don't fix those problems. And you lose in the second round of the tournament. And so I ask you this. Coming into this year, which program needs a better season? Auburn football to keep the boat alive and keep the boat afloat, or Auburn basketball to where can they finally live up to the expectations with so much talent and such a great coach? At what point does it all come together for a national championship? And think about the difference in those two programs right now. One is trying to live up to expectations to win on the big stage. The other one is just trying to survive and not be a laughingstock in the SEC. So I ask you, which program needs the better year, Auburn football or Auburn basketball? And I want to hear your reason. 334-321-1390, that's the number to put you through to me. I'll answer that in hour number two when I come back and talk about it a little bit more. But it's interesting to put it into perspective what's on the line for each one of these programs in this upcoming season, because they both need good years. You can only get the best talent in basketball and not win for so long. And in football, you can only have... Look, you can only have mediocrity for so long in this state. When you look across the other side, they're doing great things. But both programs, they got to have a good year. Halfway through hour number one, stay tuned. We're going to talk about Auburn basketball in Jerusalem when we come back.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Talking a lot of Auburn basketball today as the Tigers picked up a four-star point guard commitment yesterday evening. He was a four-star point guard in the 2023 class, and now today... Of course, Auburn basketball is in Israel, Jerusalem over there playing the Israel national team. And they played their first game today. They just wrapped up about 30 minutes ago, right as I was coming on the air. They wrapped up a 119-56 victory over the Israel U-20 national team, which is the Israel national team with players that are under the age of 20. Again, Auburn wins 119-56. And look, before we get into the details and the scoring and all of that, there's a couple of things to address with this trip to Israel for Auburn. Okay, Auburn basketball, they headed over and they're doing a couple of things while they're there. They're touring a little bit, they're sightseeing, and they are obviously seeing the historical side of the area where they're at, right? So they're getting to do all that, some team bonding, which is really, really important. It's something that a lot of basketball teams do during the offseason like this. And so that part of it is really, really cool that they're getting to do that. And what's really cool about the basketball side of things is Auburn gets to go over, and a lot of other schools do this too. Auburn is not necessarily unique in this idea, but they get to go over and, okay, again, so take Israel for example. They're playing Israel, but they're playing on FIBA rules, which means there's four quarters, right? There's some different actual rules to the game of basketball. There's some different rules in the FIBA league versus college basketball. So they're playing in that rule setting. They're also playing with a different basketball, like a physical basketball is a little bit different. It's a little bit more slick on the outside, and so they've been practicing with that for a couple of days to try to get used to that. Again, they play with four quarters instead of two halves, which every other version of basketball across the entire world at every level is quarters, except college basketball for men, it's halves. So it should be that way anyway, but we're not getting into that right now. But so there's some differences with what Auburn is having to do as these college athletes and college basketball players are having to adjust to some of the differences in playing basketball in another country. But they get to play against the Israel national teams. There's about three or four of them that they're going to get to play against. That they're playing against talent and teams and styles and coaches that they don't always get to play against when you're playing college basketball in the United States. That's a really cool experience for this team. Today they played the Israel U-20 national team. Again, that's the Israel team that is under the age of 20, and Auburn wins 119-56. And the reason they do this is to get some in-game live-action experience against some pretty good talent over there in Israel. We talked to Joey Blackwell yesterday from Bama Central, and Alabama's going to be playing a couple of different countries, and I'm pretty sure he told me they were going to be playing the Chinese national team So that's a great experience too. And the reason all of these schools and programs do this is, again, to get that live ball action, playing against different styles of teams, different styles of offenses and defenses and coaches, and playing against talent that you don't ever get to see on a regular basis. And so all of these things that you've been practicing and working on, you finally get to get on the floor and play against somebody other than your own team. And I think it's really beneficial. You also get to go on a team trip. And yeah, you play a couple of games a day and you're practicing, shoot arounds, whatever it may be. But then when you're done, you get to go hang out with your team and go sightseeing and be together and bond as a team. And we know how important that is in sports, especially college sports, how important it is for a team to be close together on and off the court. Because if a team is not together off the court, they'll never be together on the court. Mentally, emotionally, whatever it may be, if you don't get along with them off the floor, you're not going to get along with them on the floor. And so that's why these types of trips are taken by all of these big-time college basketball programs. Auburn today played the Israel U-20 national team. They win 119-56. It was a dominant victory for Auburn. It was over by the first quarter, especially by the first half, and we knew that was going to be the case, okay? We did not watch this game and expect this game to be close. We didn't watch it expecting anything crazy happen, no game winners or anything like that. Auburn was supposed to win this game by a lot of points, but that's not why they did it. Bruce Pearl didn't sign Auburn up for this game to say, oh yeah, what a great opponent. It's going to be a tough matchup. Or he didn't do this to say, gimme win, right? That's not the reason. The reason this game happens on the basketball side, talking this game specifically in this trip, is you get to play everybody. And you get to play so many different formations. And you get to play so many different lineups and switch things in and out as often as you want. Because let's say something crazy happens and you do lose one of these games. Who cares? It doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter if you win or lose. Of course, you want to win. But if you lose, it's not the end of the world. Nobody cares. But you get to learn more about your team and learn more about your players and find out where you stand right now as a team and where each individual player stands right now as a player. And so Bruce Pearl gets to do that. The coaches get to see that in action outside of practice over at Neville Arena, because it is different. The mindset is different. Whether the players think so or not, subconsciously, you change the way you play when you're in an actual game versus what you do in practice. You change the way you think when you're playing in a game against a different team than when you're playing a 5-on-5 against your own team, whether it's squad A or squad B. That's just how it works. And so what this game today means, Auburn wins 119-56, means Auburn's pretty good. And if you watched it, if you had the chance to watch it, Auburn is having these games aired on SEC Network, which not many teams get to do when they take these trips. That's not normal, but Auburn was able to make that happen. Bruce Pearl was very adamant about making this a possibility for Auburn to have these games aired on TV, and they did. They aired on SEC Network today, and the next couple of games will also be aired on SEC Network. And so if you had the chance to watch it, what'd you think? What'd you think of the newcomers? What'd you think of the guys that are coming back? If you watched it today, Auburn basketball play Israel, give me a call. What'd you think? 334-321-1390. I'll admit, I didn't get to catch all of it. As I told you to start the show today, it's been pretty crazy around here. I've got a lot going on. But I did catch most of the second half and a little bit of the first half, and it was kind of bits and pieces here and there just whenever I was able to kind of look at it, listen in, whatever it may be. But Auburn, look, they started off slow is what I was reading online, but then they got into it and they figured themselves out. And when I picked it up, the effort on the defensive end of the floor was really what stood out to me, and what also stood out to the broadcasters on ESPN for SEC Network. The defense is what really set themselves apart. And we know what Bruce Pearl does on the defensive end, and we know that Auburn has always played tough defense with Bruce Pearl as the head coach. That's what keeps them in basketball games for so long, is the defense for Auburn, right? And that was no different today. And you wouldn't have known that Auburn was playing an Israel team that in a game that didn't matter. Auburn came out, and for the full four quarters that they played high energy, high level, and very, very intimidating defense the entire time. They never let up. And it wasn't like they were doing full court press the whole time, but they were playing up on people. They were picking up at half court. They were playing tenacious defense from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. And I like that. I like that when the game was a blowout and Auburn was up by 40 points the entire second half, you wouldn't have known it. If they took the scoreboard off the screen and all you saw was the game, you wouldn't have known Auburn was up by 40. You would have known they were winning because they were scoring a lot more than Israel, but you wouldn't have known they were up by 40 by the way they were playing defense. That's what is exciting about this team so far. That is what you want to see from a young college basketball team like Auburn has. And Auburn on the offensive end, I mean, they just couldn't, they could not be stopped inside. The offensive boards, they out-rebounded the Israel team, just by a ton, especially on the offensive side. And Auburn had a little bit of size. But when you were watching this game, Auburn has a couple of big guys, right? Auburn has Dylan Cardwell, and they have Jani Broome. But they're not huge. Auburn does not have a Walker Kessler anymore, folks. They don't. They don't have a Walker Kessler standing in the paint anymore. And so that's what you have to remember, is this team is going to be a little bit undersized compared to last year's team. Let's take a break and head to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. You're on the line. Who am I speaking with?
I just called in. That was really quick. I was just wondering, I don't know if you have them yet, but if you could run down maybe some of the stats, you know, who rebounds, points, assists, and such as that.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to win the game. Watch the game, but, you know, very happy about, you know, the game and all.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
But if you could touch on that, buddy, I sure would appreciate
it. Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm looking at it right now. Treyor had 20 points. Jani Broome had 17 points, 9 rebounds. Dylan Cardwell, who had a very, very impressive day on both ends of the floor, had 12 points, 14 rebounds, and 3 blocks. I think he had the best day overall. Those are some of the big-time stats that I've got from a point perspective. Chance Westry, the new guy coming in, he had 13 points. And, I mean, that's the ones that I have that stick out to me. KD Johnson had 5 points, so nothing crazy. He had a 3 on the day. He had 5 points in the fourth quarter, excuse me. He had a couple of 3s on the day, did KD Johnson. Alan Flanagan, he had 7 points at one time during the game. I don't have his final point stat, but overall, some really good point showings and really good overall showings from Auburn today.
Well, hey, it sure sounds good, and it really does. And, you know, I know you can't tell much this early, but I sure appreciate your, you know, sharing, and War Eagle, guys.
Yeah, War Eagle to you as well. I appreciate the call. Give me a call, 334-321-1390. You can call in. Let's talk Auburn basketball. I'd love to hear from you. The stats are kind of hard to come by. It was kind of, if you kept up with it yourself during the game, or if you were able to write it down, if they were keeping up with it on ESPN, this is not really something you could pull up online. And there's no box score for this, right? This isn't an official game or anything like that. If you find one, please let me know. I haven't really dug too deep into the internet to find it, but the little bit that I have found, the newcomers, you have Yohan Traore, who had 20 points, Jani Broome with 17 points, and again, I was about to get into this, but Dylan Cardwell, I mean, he had a fantastic, fantastic day. 12 points, 14 rebounds, and 3 blocks. And one thing you have to remember is you are playing an Israel team that does not have as much talent as you. You are playing an Israel team that is just flat out not as good as you, and that is definitely shown from the 119-56 score. But Auburn looked really, really good. And again, this is a game where when I was watching it and when everybody else was watching it, You're just watching Auburn and how they play and what they're doing right and doing wrong, not necessarily that they scored more points than the other team. You're looking at things like footwork from Dylan Cardwell and being able to catch the basketball in transition and not travel and not drop it and also finish in the lane. He did that multiple times. You're looking at the point guards like Wendell Green and Zeb Jasper and KD Johnson, and are they making the right plays and taking the right shots at the right times? I think they did. The little bit that I saw, I think they did. There were a couple times where KD Johnson took a three. I was like, I don't really agree with that. But there were a couple times where he had the extra pass and he took it in the corner and he buried it. In a game like this, you're looking at the new guys like Jani Broome and Chance Westry and Yoan Traore. You're looking at these types of guys and they had fantastic games. And you're trying to get to know them a little bit and recognize who they are and how they play. And overall, I think Auburn looked really good. Now again, take this for what it is, which is not a whole lot. But it's fun to watch Auburn basketball in August, is it not? It's fun to be talking about Auburn basketball in August. I love it. I'm super excited. And I'm excited to watch these next couple of games where Auburn is playing a couple more of these Israel national teams. We'll see what happens with Auburn. We'll see how they look. I mean, they broke 100 points, which is exciting, right? And you saw some really good transition plays and transition times from Auburn, forcing turnovers, blocking shots, knocking the ball away, getting out in transition off of rebounds, outlet passes from either point guards or even big guys, guys catching the ball in transition and making the right play, whether it was finishing at the rim or kicking it out and making the extra pass. I saw a lot of good things today from Auburn. I really did. And it's still August. There's still a long way to go, and they still have more games in Israel. But it's fun to watch Auburn, and it's fun to be talking about basketball in August. I know football season's right around the corner. I mean, we have football this month, folks. But it's still fun to be able to talk about Auburn basketball, and it's still really cool to be able to watch Auburn basketball here in the month of August as they are playing Israel in over there. They're playing in a couple of more games. They're all on SEC Network, which, again, is something that Bruce Pearl was very, very dedicated to try to get done, and congratulations to him for doing that. You look at guys like Chris Moore. He had a great day as well. Lior Berman did not play. He was injured, so he is not playing with Auburn. But overall, I think the Tigers played really well. I think there's a lot to look forward to this year, but it is one game against the Israel under 20 team, so don't look into it too much, but enjoy it while it's here, because we're watching Auburn basketball in August. Enjoy it while we can, and it gives us something to talk about, and I really do enjoy it. I think there's a lot of talent on this team. And one more thing before we take our final break. I've said this in the past, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm sure I will continue to say this when basketball season gets here. I think it's going to take some time for this team to hit their stride full force in this season. I think it's probably going to be conference play before this team really figures out who they are and figures out the best way to get their talent in the right spot and to get their guys in the right positions, in the right rotation to make this team the best that it can be. I think it'll probably be SEC play before that happens. And you know what? That's okay. Hey, let's take our final break here in hour number one. I have one more thought on Auburn I just thought about. I do want to talk about it. I think you're going to enjoy it, and it shocked me too. But we're going to talk about that. We'll wrap up hour number one here on this Tuesday edition of On the Line when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Something I thought about right before going to the break that I did want to mention. You want to know who looked good today in Auburn basketball's game against Israel? You want to know who looked like they may or may not be back from injury? You want to know who looked like they may have finally reached their potential? And it was only one game, so don't overreact too much. Alan Flanagan looked great today, folks. He did. Alan Flanagan looked good today. He looked like the player we thought he could be. He was explosive off the dribble. He was explosive off the bounce. He went up for rebounds. He finished at the rim. He knocked down threes. He was good in transition. He was good on the defensive end. Now, again, this is one game. And it's a game against an inferior opponent. It's a game where guys like Alan Flanagan are supposed to have good games. But he looked good. And he didn't look like his injury was holding him back today. He just looked a little bit different athletically and physically when he was on the floor. And that's a great sign. Look, you know me, and I'll admit, I've been one of the harshest people on Alan Flanagan. There are times where I said Alan Flanagan does not need to be in the starting lineup for Auburn. I've said that, and I've been one of the harshest critics of Alan Flanagan. But that doesn't mean that he can't get back to what we thought he was going to be pre-injury. And there's no doubt that the injury has held him back for a long time, and I hate that for him, right? We all hate it for him. We don't want him to be bad. We want Alan Flanagan to be great, and we want him to be a benefit to this Auburn basketball team and this Auburn basketball program. And I still think he can. Now, I'm not going to go above and beyond and say that today is the one time, and after I saw him play today, that I think he's going to be just great and the best player that Auburn has. I'm not saying all that now. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit. But he did look great today. You cannot deny it. Alan Flanagan looked fantastic today. He made the right plays. He made the right passes. He finished at the rim. He took a couple of questionable shots, but he buried them. And I mean buried them. There was a three near the end of the game where he was dribbling to his right, and he did the move, folks. He dribbled through the legs, step back, fade away, but the guy buried it. And I was like, all right, maybe, right? Maybe he's back, maybe he's not. We're going to find out. I still don't like the move, but he did it and he buried it. So you can't say anything if he makes the shot, you can't say anything. But even other than that, I just think he looked a lot healthier today. And I hope that's something we continue to see during Auburn basketball's time in Israel. And let's be honest, that's something I want to see during this upcoming basketball season. We want Alan Flanagan to be great. We want Auburn to be great. And I think Auburn basketball has potential and the talent to do so this year in 2022 and 2023. Hour number one, it's flown by. It's in the book. Stay tuned. Hour number two, coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Hope you're all doing well on this Tuesday afternoon. War Eagle to everybody as Auburn basketball is in action in August. How cool is that? Here on this August 2nd, 2022, we have so much to talk about with Auburn basketball, with a commitment yesterday and a game today. So much to talk about on that. We're going to have making headlines. We have Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network at 3:30. An action-packed hour number two here on this Tuesday edition of On the Line. If you missed any of hour number one, make sure you go and find the podcast. Just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. I will upload that immediately. Immediately following today's show, so make sure you go and find that. It is commercial free, so all you have to do is search On the Line wherever you get your podcast, or you can go to ESPNAU.com and click on our podcast center. You can find the podcast there. Go to ESPNAU.com, click on the podcast center. Well, Hour number one officially in the books. You know what that means. Hour number two officially underway here on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open here in hour number two. Give me a call. Anything on your mind in the sports world, I'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the number to put you through to me. 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind in the sports world, anything I'm talking about that you want to chime in on, call in. Be on the line. I'd love to hear from you. Anything I'm not talking about that you want to bring up and mention to me, have a conversation, comment, question, concern, anything on your mind in the sports world, give me a call. Be on the line. 334-321-1390. Well, let's start hour number two like we always do with making headlines here on Tuesday, August 2nd, 2022. The countdown to football season continues. We are 32 days away from Auburn football kicking off the season. 32 days until September 3rd. Tomorrow will officially be 1 month away. Can you believe it? We're almost a month away from Auburn football kicking off the season. And the excitement in me builds every single day. I cannot wait. I'm sure you are the same way. We'll have football before that, but Auburn will kick off in just over a month for this 2022 season. But as we get into making headlines here on this August 2nd, 2022, yesterday evening, Auburn basketball picked up a four-star commitment from a point guard out of North Carolina. His name is Aiden Holloway, and he has committed to Auburn in the 2023 class. He's a four-star player in this class of 2023. He's ranked as the 30th overall player in this year's class. He picked Auburn over Tennessee, Memphis, and a couple of other big-time schools. So, yet again, another recruiting victory for Auburn and Bruce Pearl as Aiden Holloway, the 6-foot point guard. I think that's how tall he was. Yeah, 6-foot, 155 pounds. So, a little bit taller than some of the previous point guards that we talked about a little bit earlier. He is a little bit taller than some of those, but you remember Jared Harper, he was listed, I think they listed him at like 5'10". He was not 5'10". He was like 5'8". But so Aiden Holloway is a little bit taller than some of those point guards, but he's still a very, very similar type of point guard to a Jared Harper, a Sharif Cooper that we've seen play for Auburn and Bruce Pearl in the past. Again, Aiden Holloway, the 30th best player overall in the class of 2023. He joins Auburn for that 2023 class. He chose the Tigers over Tennessee, Memphis, and a couple of other schools. So big-time commitment for Auburn as they pick up the electric four-star guard. I think he'll end up being a five-star by the time it's all said and done. I think he's that good. I think he'll have a great last year of school, and then he'll probably be a five-star by the time he gets here. Can't guarantee that, obviously, but I do think he has the potential to be that five-star when he's here. So big-time win for Auburn and Bruce Pearl on the recruiting trail as the Tigers pick up the four-star point guard Aiden Holloway out of the state of North Carolina. He reminds me of a Jared Harper, Sharif Cooper type of player. Again, he is a little bit taller, but he plays a very similar style of basketball. He's very quick, very, very good handling the basketball. And from the film that I've seen and the videos I've seen, he makes the right decisions. And he can shoot lights out. He's very quick, again, in transition. And doesn't that sound like Jared Harper? Doesn't that sound like Sharif Cooper? I mean, honestly, this is another point guard that Bruce Pearl has gotten that will fit the system perfectly. There's a reason that Bruce goes after guys like this to play the point guard position for his basketball teams because it works. You see three of them on the team right now. Now, they do have to take a step up and play a little bit better for Auburn to be successful later on in March. But the three that are on the team right now are still very good, and they all play similar styles. Aiden Holloway is no different. He's the 30th overall player in the class of 2023, and yesterday evening he committed to Bruce Pearl and Auburn. And speaking of Auburn basketball, as we move on in making headlines here on August 2nd, 2022, Auburn basketball played a game today. And in case you missed it, it was on SEC Network, and they played the Israel U-20 team, which is the Israel national team made up of guys under the age of 20. And Auburn took care of business as they were expected to do. They beat the Israel under-20 team. They win 119-56 was the final score. And a couple of notes here on this game. Of course, Auburn has made the trip over to Israel. They'll be playing a couple of the Israel national teams. They have the U-20 team. I believe they have like an Israel select team. And then they're going to play the Israel national team, which has some big-time talent on it that has seen guys play at high-level professional basketball. So that will be exciting to watch Auburn basketball play those games. They're all going to be broadcasted on SEC Network. That's something that Bruce Pearl was very, very determined and adamant about getting and making that possible. And that is the case. Auburn plays these games on SEC Network. They played earlier today. They wrapped up about 2 o'clock. And some differences between the games that they're playing overseas and the games that they play here in the United States. They play college basketball rules here, obviously. When they're playing Israel, they're playing under the FIBA rules, which 4 quarters, they have some different rules in the game of basketball. They're playing with a different actual physical basketball. It's a little bit more slick on the outside, so they practice with that a little bit. So those are some of the big-time changes in the game itself that Auburn has had to adjust to. The time difference, they are, I think they're like 12 or 14 hours ahead or something like that. It's crazy. I don't know the exact hour difference, but they're a lot different time zone than we are here in Auburn, Alabama. So they've had to adjust to that as well. But today they beat the Israel U-20 national team 119-56. And there's no like official box score that I was able to find. I didn't catch the entire game today. It's been a busy day here at the office, but I watched, I would say, 75% of the game today, all of the second half and most of the first half. And this team for Auburn, I mean, they played lockdown defense, high energy, the entire 4 quarters. Even when they were up by 40 points the entire second half, they never let up on the defensive side. And offensively, they pushed it in transition. They looked for the open guy, and they crashed the paint in the offensive board. They just dominated this Israel team as they win 119-56. Some of the point totals for the players for Auburn that stood out to me, you look at Yoan Traore, he had 20 points. The newcomer, Jani Broome, had 17 points, 9 rebounds. And then I think the player that had the best day overall for your Auburn Tigers was Dylan Cardwell. He had 12 points, 14 rebounds, and 3 blocks, and just was a dominant force down low. We know Dylan Cardwell has been a big-time key to this Auburn team for over the last couple of years. Obviously, Walker Kessler took the main stage last year at that center position. But one thing I talked about last year that I loved so much about Dylan Cardwell was when Walker Kessler was taken off the floor and they put Dylan Cardwell in, there was no massive drop-off, right? When you put the bench in versus the starters, Dylan Cardwell would come in at the 5 position. And sure, there was a little bit of a difference because Walker Kessler was the defensive player of the year. But when Dylan Cardwell came in, there was no major drop-off. You didn't say, oh man, here we go, Dylan Cardwell's on the floor. That wasn't the case. You felt good with Dylan Cardwell on the floor, but you also could see some areas where, yeah, he could get a little bit better. Watching him today, he got better, folks. He's gotten bigger, stronger. His footwork is better. His hands are better. You could actually pass him the ball in transition coming through the lane, and he could catch it, not travel, and finish at the rim, get fouled, finish through contact, all of that. Dylan Cardwell had a fantastic day at the center position. And what's cool about this game and the couple of games that Auburn basketball is going to be playing is you're going to see a lot of different rotations, a lot of different combinations of guys on the floor at one time. And Bruce Pearl said, he said, don't buy into that at all. He said, I'm going to play people at all times, all positions at any given point. Like, he said, do not buy into a certain 5 that you see on the floor. He said, we're going to try a little bit of everything. And that's why these games are happening, is for Auburn to get some live game action, practice some of the stuff that they have been practicing back here in Auburn. They get to play against somebody different. They're not playing against the same guys every single day in Neville Arena. They get to play against an actual team that is trying to win. And I think that's really good. But overall, Auburn looked really, really good today. Don't buy in a ton to this game or a ton into these games that they're playing. They're going to be playing some high-level talent, but Auburn is better than all of these teams. Watch the individuals and watch how Auburn specifically plays, not don't watch it and just look for Auburn to score more points, because they are going to do that. Good things are happening with Auburn basketball. I was impressed with what I saw today. And how fun is it to be able to watch Auburn basketball play in the month of August? I mean, it's hard to beat that, let's be honest. As we're waiting for football season, a couple of days this week and early next week, you get to kick back and watch Auburn basketball play on SEC Network. Really, really cool to see. Moving on here and making headlines, a couple of headlines that we did not get to yesterday with some that are obviously from today. Deshaun Watson was suspended 6 games, the Cleveland Browns quarterback. He was suspended 6 games for all of his sexual misconduct stuff that happened. There was a ton of those court cases. I think it ended up being in the 20s, I believe. I don't know the exact number, but you all know the situation with that. He was traded to the Cleveland Browns, and he was suspended 6 games. And the NFL world was not happy about it. And the NFL itself was not happy about it. And they think that it should have been more. And there's a lot of people that think it should have been more as well. We'll see what happens. That is under investigation right now. So as it stands, Deshaun Watson is practicing with the Cleveland Browns. He cannot play for those first 6 games. I don't even think he can practice for the first 3 weeks of the season, I believe is what it is. He can play and practice through the preseason, but during the actual regular season, Deshaun Watson is unable to be with the team and practice and play and all of that stuff. That is under investigation. There was a huge uproar when that announcement was made, so we'll see how it goes. Deshaun Watson of the Cleveland Browns is, as it stands right now, is suspended for 6 games. Moving on and making headlines, this was one I didn't get to yesterday and I really wanted to. The legendary Bill Russell from the Boston Celtics. He's one of the best players to ever do it. He passed away yesterday, I forget what age it was. He was up there, right? He was a legend. He played with the Boston Celtics for so many years, and one of the game's greatest players passed away, and you could just feel the hurt throughout the game of NBA basketball, obviously professional basketball. Just the mark that he left on the game was just undefeated, right? Bill Russell is a legend in the game of basketball. We know what he did all those years ago with the Boston Celtics, and just wanted to make sure that was a part of today's show, just talking about Bill Russell, really the impact that he had on the game in the early on, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is, the standard that he set so early on in the NBA, and so many players that idolized him. And so look at how many players have come after Bill Russell, and even the impact he made after he was done playing. I mean, he had his own award, right? And he still does in the NBA. So really, really cool. He's just a legend in the game of basketball. That's really all you can say. Bill Russell has officially passed away. That was something I wanted to talk about yesterday. Didn't get a chance to, so I did want to mention that today. Moving on in making headlines, the PGA Tour, in response to the LIV Golf Tour, we know what that's like. The PGA Tour has responded to the LIV Golf Tour. They have added more events, and their total purse of the entire season will be $428 million. That is what the PGA Tour is doing in response to the LIV Golf Tour, as they added more events and they added more money to their total purse. Look, this is an ongoing battle. More and more players are leaving the PGA and going to the LIV Golf Tour. The PGA is going to do everything they can to stop it and try to compete, but the PGA cannot compete in one area. And it's the most important. They don't have enough money. I mean, let's just be honest. They do not have enough money to compete with the LIV Golf Tour. And they'll survive for a while, and it may still be around, and it may just end up being a smaller type league for the game of golf. And when you look at the big time names, they're not going to be playing in the PGA Tour anymore. And another headline to go on with this, the news came out yesterday that the news had already been out that the LIV Golf Tour had offered Tiger Woods, who is the biggest name in golf, even though he's not physically able to play at a high level anymore, he's still the biggest name in golf. They offered him a contract to come play in the LIV Golf Tour, and he turned it down, but nobody knew how much money they offered him. Well, that number came out yesterday, and you're not going to believe it. If you haven't seen it, be ready. You thought Juan Soto turning down $450 million was a lot of money to turn down? Yeah, not even close. The numbers that came out for Tiger Woods that he denied for the LIV Golf Tour, they reportedly offered him somewhere between $700 and $800 million to come play for the LIV Golf Tour, and Tiger Woods said no. Can you imagine turning down $800 million to play golf? Could you imagine at Tiger Woods' age to go play golf every day? $800 million is what Tiger Woods turned down. And I know why he did it. We all know why he turned it down. He has a name and an image for himself that he doesn't want to destroy anymore that's already been destroyed throughout his life, right? He has been through the ups and the downs throughout the life of Tiger Woods. And I think if he would have ended up going to the LIV Golf Tour, he would have lost a lot of respect from a lot of the old-time people in the game of golf. And I think he realized that the money was not worth that to him. It wasn't worth his name being tarnished and his reputation being drugged through the mud yet again. And so he turned down an offer between $700 and $800 million from the LIV Golf Tour. I can't wrap my head around turning down that kind of money, but he did. And he will not be joining the LIV Golf Tour. But let's be honest, he's not going to be playing golf for that much longer. We've seen him play, and he just physically can't do it at that high level anymore. We'll see where that goes. But the PGA Tour is trying to respond to the LIV Golf Tour, but they're not losing Tiger, so they got that going for them. Moving on, as we are running out of time here in this segment, the trade deadline for the MLB is today. It's got 2 hours left. And less than that, really, it's over by 5 o'clock Central Time, 6 o'clock Eastern Time, the MLB trade deadline. And the biggest one was Juan Soto. I just talked about him turning down the 15-year, 400 and however many millions it was by Washington. He turned it down. People didn't know if he was going to get traded or not today by the deadline. And he was. He was traded to the San Diego Padres earlier today. Juan Soto, the 23-year-old superstar, is heading to San Diego in a blockbuster trade. He will be heading out to San Diego. Washington was able to deal him. They didn't have to pay him that much, but San Diego will. They're going to get him for a long, long time. That's the biggest name on the board that was traded today before the MLB trade deadline. We're going to talk more Braves and baseball later on in the show. We'll talk with Jacob Hillman a little bit about that. He's a big baseball guy. We'll talk to him about some Atlanta Braves stuff when we come back. But that's it for making headlines here in hour number two on this Tuesday edition of On the Line. When we come back, question of the day. And then after that, we're going to have Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network telling us everything with Auburn football, basketball. We'll even pick his brain a little bit on the Atlanta Braves when we get him on the phone at 3:30. All of that coming up here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Question of the day to you is this. With the disappointing ends to the Auburn football and Auburn basketball seasons a year ago, which program needs the better year? Auburn football or Auburn basketball? Give me a call, 334-321-1390. That's the number to put you through to me. Call in, be on the line. Which program needs to have the better year, Auburn football or Auburn basketball, and why? 334-321-1390. I talked about this back in hour number one and talked about the disappointing ends to both seasons for football and basketball. You look at football first, and of course we know the disappointing ending to that. After Auburn started 6-2, optimism was high, everybody was feeling good, the season was going to be good. You had a chance to really finish out strong, and you lose 5 straight. You blow it against Alabama, you can't beat Houston in the bowl game, you blow a lead to Mississippi State, you lose to South Carolina, right? We know how the season ended. But you also look at basketball, and you look at the talent that was on this team, and you looked at the status of this team in late January, early February, when they were the number one team in the country. They were on, an 18-game win streak, whatever it was, and they seemed to be unbeatable. And I sat right here in this studio, and I said Auburn could win the national championship. But then they started forming some bad habits. And even during that win streak, they had bad habits too. And I said they needed to fix them. And they never did. And they continued to play the bad ways and have bad habits. And they kept getting bigger and bigger. And they just kept growing inside. And they kept Auburn from winning basketball games. And ultimately, it was a disappointing end of the season. The second round of the NCAA tournament for that much talent on that year's team last year for this Auburn basketball team, second round of the NCAA tournament is disappointing. And so football and basketball both had very great starts, but disappointing ends to the season. And so that's why I asked the question, which program needs to have the better year this year? Auburn football or Auburn basketball? And I put it this way, Auburn football needs a better year. They need a good year to save the program, to save a coach's job, and to save a recruiting effort, for lack of a better word, and to prevent starting from square one. But the other program with Auburn basketball, they need a good year to prove and to continue to keep the faith in recruits and around the country that Auburn basketball is a legitimate program in the game of college basketball. Because at this point, if Auburn gets a lot of talent and they keep getting big-time recruits, but Bruce Pearl never wins at a high level and wins the big games in postseason play, then what good is Auburn basketball really? If I had to answer, I'm going to choose football because basketball is going to be fine. And I think basketball will work itself out. They still need a good year. Don't get me wrong. Missing the tournament or an early exit in March Madness again, that's not going to be good for Auburn and Bruce Pearl this year. Because if that happens, then recruits are going to say, yeah, well, they can't win. Now, if you still put guys in the league, it may not matter. Look at Kentucky. They get big guys all the time. They get great kids. They don't win, but they get great kids and send them to the league. Auburn football, on the other hand, we know what's at stake there. If Auburn football doesn't win this year, Brian Harsin will be fired, most of the coaching staff will be fired, most of the recruits will decommit, and Auburn will be right back at square one. So to answer the question, in my opinion, Auburn football has to have a good year more than Auburn basketball does, but both of them need to have a good year, and both of them will have a good year. 30 more minutes here in hour number two. Stay tuned. Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network coming up.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz. On ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. Jacob Goetz with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Well, he normally comes on the show Mondays. He was very polite and nice and was able to come on today's show instead of yesterday. Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. It's a busy time for you. I know we're getting ready for football season, but we have a lot to talk about with football and some basketball today, man. So let's jump right into it. Big Cat weekend over the weekend for Auburn football. I think it was a hit, man. What'd you think?
Yeah, absolutely. When you grab two commits for the next year and a quarterback that's a four-star and a good DB and I'm on Lane, you're doing a really good job. And I really think Lane is a guy that can be really special. He's 5'11", 180. I like that size for he'll probably play nickel here at Auburn. That's what he's going to do in his senior year at Moody. And I think he'll be special. He played on those Thompson High School teams that won three consecutive state championships. So He's a special player. He knows how to win. And Posse, just a four-star quarterback from Miami. Another great frame, 6'4", 205. And for this upcoming recruiting cycle, 2023, obviously didn't get any commits over the weekend, but I think it was a big weekend for the guys that are already committed to recruit those that Auburn is targeting and obviously just get them a feel for what it's going to be like down here. And I really like that a lot of these guys are going to be back for football season. That's when it really matters, when you really need to hammer a guy, because it's great to get him for Big Cat Weekend, but I really think the game day feel, the atmosphere is what sells it. Ashley Williams is a guy that I'm really looking at, a four-star edge, and he's already decommitted from Nebraska, so I really like where Auburn's headed for him, and we'll see if Auburn can get that commit in the coming weeks.
Well, Hillman, this Big Cat Weekend was something that was started back in 2009, I believe, for Auburn, and it has been continued, obviously, through this 2022 season. How important is it for Auburn to have Big Cat Weekend every single year over at the football complex, and how important will it be to be hosting it in the new football complex starting next year?
Yeah, it's a huge deal during the summer times when, you know, it's right after the dead period, so there's not a lot going on before that, if anything. And it's just a good feel for those guys to see what the team that year is going to be like, and the coaching staff as well. So I really like having it at this 1st of August time, right after the dead period, so that they can see what's going on, how they're practicing, and you know, the weight room and stuff. And like you said, next year it's going to be the biggest and best one yet in that new facility. It's coming along really nicely. It looks great. And, man, they are getting closer and closer by the day. So looking forward to seeing that finish. And like I was saying, just getting those guys in a facility that is starting to match up with the rest of the SEC is going to be a big deal next year for Coach Harsin and company. They're looking to build up those recruiting classes in the following years.
Hillman, do we have a set date on that new football facility when the team and everybody will be moving in? Do we have that day yet?
No, I don't think it's a set date, but I think right after the season, like December, I think that's when things will begin to move around. I would guess then maybe not if Auburn has a really impressive season and exceeds expectations, might be focused on football more than moving facilities, but I think that winter time is exactly when it's going to happen.
Yeah, well, when you drive by it, it looks like the outside is just about finished, I think. But obviously, there's a lot of work to do on the inside. It's going to be super nice. They spent enough money on it. It better be nice. It's going to be one of the best in the entire country. Speaking with Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network, as we are 32 days away from Auburn football kicking off the season. But we had some Auburn basketball to watch today, my friend. Auburn over in Israel, playing a couple of games against a couple of the Israel national teams, a couple of different levels of the Israel national team. Today, they started out against the Israel U-20 national team, and they win 119-56. What did you see from the Tigers? I know you were watching.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the under-20 team is a little overmatched by the Tigers, but it was still a good showing by a team in its first time competing together. That's what I saw was there's already a little bit of chemistry there. Obviously, things need to be worked on, but I was pleased with things. There was nothing really glaring that you think, well, that needs to be fixed soon. And obviously, next week when you're playing the older teams and the upper class teams, it's going to be a little bit different, a little more competitive, I think, when you play that national team. But, I mean, individually, I was just impressed by the big guys. Obviously bigger than the big guys for Israel, but they really did a good job at just making things work. Dylan Carwell and Jonai Broom getting double-doubles, and man, Johan Traore is going to be just electric. He is a lot of fun to watch, and I just really think that he is going to be a first-round talent. I don't know if he's going to be one and done, but he has that potential for sure, and he is fighting for that starting role for sure.
Well, when you look at Johan Traore, he had 20 points. Jonai Broom had 17 points, 9 rebounds. And Dylan Cardwell, 12 points, 14 rebounds, and 3 blocks. I mean, that's as good as it gets from your big man down low.
For sure. And like I said, they're overmatched. Israel was a little overmatched. But I don't look at it as, you know, it's not the end of the world that you play this this weaker team. Because, like I said, next week is going to be a bit tougher. So I really like what I saw from Auburn. And Like you're saying, Traore, man. I mean, look at that. Look at that reverse dunk he had at the end. It just shows how explosive he is, especially when, I mean, he's probably not as explosive right now as he's going to be when the season rolls around. He's still got to get in the weight room a little bit and just getting that midseason form. So seeing him do that just shows what he's going to be like coming up this season.
We've got Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network on the phone here on the Line. The guy that really impressed me, Jacob, was Dylan Cardwell. He had 12 points, 14 rebounds, and 3 blocks. And again, the one thing that you've been talking about and I've been talking about as well, this was a team that Auburn played today. They were better than, right? They were very, very outmatched was the Israel team. But in these types of games, you watch individual players and you watch how they are playing and their footwork and their hands, and that's exactly what I saw from Dylan Cardwell earlier today. His footwork was very impressive down low in the paint. His hands were very strong when he was getting passes in the lane, whether it was in transition or when the guard would put the ball on the floor behind the back, whatever it may be. He was making the right plays and finishing through contact. I was very impressed by Dylan Cardwell. What do you think of his performance today?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And it's something that I think for him it's just gonna be consistency that he needs to build. And you know, we saw last year in that Alabama game that he can be really special. That was his best game by far. Mm-hmm. Kessler goes out with foul trouble, and like you said, the footwork and things like that, the mechanics that sometimes he might lose a little of. Last year in some games that he didn't perform as well. That's something you saw today. And, you know, it can be easy against a team that you're better than to get a little out of whack and do things differently. But I feel like these guys did a good job of really just playing their game and preparing for what's to come next week.
And then also one more player that he has gotten a lot of hate over the years, and he's still coming off of a pretty nasty injury that has held him back over the years. I think Alan Flanagan had a great day today. And again, it was against inferior talent, and he was supposed to be good today, but he just looked a little bit different physically, shooting the basketball, crashing the boards, and finishing in the lane. How big is it for Alan Flanagan to come back from injury, get going here in August, and then have a good start to the season later on?
Yeah, I think what you see from Alan now is that his explosiveness is fully returning. You saw it a little bit last year, but you knew that there was something still just bothering him from that injury. So now seeing him be able to, like, that step back three hit was something I'm not sure he hits last year. He did a really good job at just he's done a really good job at just continuing to build that leg back up and do his thing. But also, I look at the 5 rebounds and 4 assists he had. I don't think he did that very often last year. He might have, but it was something that he just looked like he was comfortable again. And he was his freshman year. You could see the potential. His sophomore year was really good that COVID season when he was having to play out of position, and now he's starting to look comfortable again. So I really expect to see him more comfortable as the season returns. And I mean, him and that all those guards are just going to be so impressive. Obviously, he can play kind of the 2 and 3. And even the one, like I said, the COVID season. But one other guy I want to bring up is Chance Westry. I'm excited to see him next week against the national team. I mean, dropping 13 points and really just seems – he seemed pretty comfortable out there. I'm really looking forward to big things from him.
We've got Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network on the phone. You talk about those next couple of games. I think each game is going to get a little bit tougher for Auburn while they're in Israel, and then eventually they're going to play the main national team for Israel. They have some NBA-level talent on that team. Over these next couple of games for Auburn overseas, what are you looking for from individual players, from the team itself, and overall results for Auburn basketball on their trip in Israel?
Yeah, it's got to be that consistency from certain guys. Like we talked about already, Cardwell and Flanagan. If we can see them build up some consistency, like we saw a little bit of today, and continue to build on that, it's going to be it's a big deal. And I can't wait to see what they pull out next week. So, like you said, the NBA talent, I think it's Denik. I can't recall his last name, but he was a lottery pick. Adija, he's a lottery pick for the Wizards. So, if he's able to play, I think there's a chance he plays next week, but it might be limited minutes. Then you're really going to see a good matchup for some of those three guards and the two guards, because that's kind of the position he plays, and he's bigger. So Alan Flanagan might have his hands full if he ends up playing, and it'll be fun to see that kind of matchup next week.
Jacob, let's talk a little professional baseball as the MLB trade deadline is quickly approaching in the next hour and 15 minutes. You're a big baseball guy over there with the Auburn Sports Network and a big Atlanta Braves guy. Let's talk outside of the Braves, and then we'll focus in on Atlanta for a second. some of the big-time moves today in the game of baseball. Juan Soto, no longer a Washington National. He is with the San Diego Padres in a blockbuster deal. Did you see that? Did you see him going to the Padres, or what do you think it's going to do for him?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it became more and more obvious as the days went on that the Padres were really wanting him, and they were going to do what they needed to do that. And, of course, you had a little bit of drama with Hosmer not wanting to go to the Nationals, but they made it work. And I really think that this is the right step for the Padres because, obviously, Machado and Tatis are just uber-talented players. They are so good. And it's hard to see them. We're in a division with the Dodgers. That's tough. And I think the Dodgers put their name in the running for Soto just to drive up the price a little bit so that the Padres, they were going to do whatever they had to do. And they might have given up some guys that they really didn't want to just because they saw the Dodgers targeting them. And that's something that the Dodgers are able to do because of their payroll and how much they're able to pay guys. So it's going to be really interesting at the end of this year how he goes about, because obviously this is the end of his contract, and how much he gets paid. I guess the Padres are willing to pay him the $500 million he wants, and it's going to be a fun team to watch for the next couple of years. It's just, are they going to win? Are they going to win? I just don't know if they can beat the Dodgers in that NL West. So we'll have to see in the coming years.
Well, as of right now, the Padres are 12 games back currently from the Dodgers in that division. But you're right. Can the Padres put it together? They have the talent now. Can they put it together? Jacob, let's talk the Atlanta Braves for a minute before I let you get out of here. Lots of additions for the Braves during this trade deadline. Who are some of the big names that you've seen that you're impressed with and some of the moves that you've liked from the Atlanta Braves?
I really like Adrianza. He's been on this team before. He's a world champion with the Braves. And I think that while you're waiting for Ozzy Albies to come back, you know, Arcia's done his job well, but he's a little inconsistent. So Adrianza's a switch hitter as well, and Arcia really struggles against the right-handed pitching. So I really want to see Adrianza come in against those righties and do damage to him. So that's the one that I'm really targeting and looking at because I think that he can make the difference in chasing down the Mets.
And then what about the Braves signing Austin Riley to a long-term deal? He's going to be an Atlanta Brave for a long time, my friend.
Yeah, and I really think it's a good deal for the Braves. And you've seen that happen over the years with Ronald Acuna Jr. as well as Ozzy Albies. You get a pretty good deal. So I think they paid him less than what I would have expected. But, you know, after the whole Freddie Freeman saga, it's what Alex Anthopoulos had to do. And he made it happen. And I think Austin Riley is an MVP candidate. No, I wouldn't say no one's talking about him because that's starting to pick up a little bit more now. But, I mean, 2 weeks ago, no one was talking about him. So it's really nice to see him locked in for the next decade. And he's just such a great player.
Well, he joins a legendary group of third basemen for the Atlanta Braves. Talking to Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network, man, I'm going to let you get out of here. Thank you so much for adjusting your schedule a little bit and coming on the Tuesday edition of On the Line instead of Monday. Let everybody know where they can keep up with you and everything you're doing as we get closer and closer to the college football season.
Hey, I might as well have come on Tuesday after the basketball game. It wouldn't have been as entertaining.
Right.
If we didn't have the game.
Yeah, worked out perfectly.
It worked out well. But follow me on Twitter at Jacob Hillman AU. As like you said, football season is almost a month away. It's going to be a lot of fun.
No doubt. Hey, we'll talk to you next Monday when Auburn basketball has played a couple of more games against Israel, and we'll get to talk about that and talk some more about college football. I'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks, Jacob. War Eagle.
Yep, War Eagle to you as well. That's Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He will be back on Monday next week during his normal 3:30 time slot. Let's take our final break here in this second hour. We'll come back and wrap up this Tuesday edition of On the Line, and then it'll be The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader Jacob Goins here with you for the next couple of minutes. Make sure you stay tuned at 4 o'clock. It'll be The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck right here on ESPN 106.7. But for the next couple of minutes, final take for you today. It's about Auburn basketball, and as I watched most of the game they played today against the Israel U-20 team. Look, Auburn was more talented. They were better. They were supposed to win by the 50-some points that they did, right? We know that. But the next couple of games that they're going to play against these Israel national teams, they're going to get tougher as they go. And one thing we're looking for is improvement from last year's players. And that's what I'm really looking for. Sure, we want to see the newcomers and the new guys have big-time games. We want to see Chance Westry and Trey Donaldson and Jani Broome and Yoan Traore, right? We want to see those guys show what they can do. But we have all season to see what they got, and they're going to develop as the season goes on. But I'm looking at guys from last year. Guys like Alan Flanagan and Dylan Cardwell and the guards of Wendell Green Jr., Zeb Jasper, and KD Johnson. I'm looking at those guys and seeing if they have gotten better than they were last year. Have those guys learned what their limitations were last year and how did they fix it and did they fix it? That's the biggest question. Their limitations and their negatives, I guess, for lack of a better word. The downsides of those players, because every player has them, right? No player is just perfect all the way around. But what have those players done to make themselves better than they were last year? Because there were some limitations to what the guards could do. We saw when Wendell Green would have the basketball, teams figured out, throw a double team at him, and he's stuck. He can't go anywhere. Has he fixed that to where that's not a liability anymore? Has KD Johnson figured out how to make the right play and the better play rather than just pulling up and shooting a three from the logo and airballing it or clanking it off the back, right? Has he figured out a way to be a point guard or be a guard in general and make the right play and also knock down some shots? Because when he's on, he can knock down a shot from half court. But when he's cold, he can't hit anything. Has a guy like Zeb Jasper figured out a way to become a leader of the guards and a leader on the team? Has he figured out a way to be that floor general like I think he can be? I think Zeb Jasper is the best point guard out of those three. He makes the right decisions. He makes the right plays. Has he become more aggressive when shooting the basketball or putting it on the floor? That's what I'm looking for in these next couple of games, and that's what I'm going to be looking for at the start of the season from those guys. Things I'm looking for from Dylan Cardwell. We saw a little bit today in today's game. Better footwork, better hands, finishing through contact, right? Those are the types of things we're looking for. And for a guy like Alan Flanagan, can he finally come back from injury? Can he finally be that player that we know he can be? That is what I'm looking for from the returners from last year's team. That's what I'm looking for in these next couple of games in Israel, and that's what I'll be looking for in the first few games of this 2022-2023 college basketball season for Auburn. If those guys can become better, Auburn basketball will be great. That's it for the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'll be back tomorrow. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.